Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies feline with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
A lot of milestones hit yesterday in the Astros' victory over the Rockies. Shea Whitcomb hit his first ever Major League home run. Altuve passed Jeff Bagwell for hits. And Hunter Brown won a game. He hadn't won a game since June 1st through no fault of his own. And how do I know that? Let's say I hadn't been paying that close of attention to Hunter Brown starts, and I could just roll out with through no fault of his own. What do you mean? Hadn't won a game. Some of it's his fault. Nope. When the guy is the Major League pitcher, the AL pitcher for the month of March with one win, month of June, with one win in that month, he probably pitched pretty well. Him and Zach Wheeler are the pitchers of the month for those, for the NL and AL. Zach Wheeler couldn't even beat Colton Gordon. Was it Brandon Walter or Colton Gordon that outdueled Zach Wheeler?
Doesn't matter.
Same thing. Pitcher of the month, sure. Came into Daikin and left with a loss.
It should have been Hunter Brown, AL, NL, Colton Gordon, or Brandon
Whoever
Walter.
Was on we the mound care. That day. Yeah. They're the same guy for us.
Yeah, both of them. Who cares?
Who cares? But either way, those are the two guys who are the AL and NL pitchers of the month. And Hunter Brown got a win. The Astros did enough, and the bullpen did their part, so he wins. So Jeff Bagwell texted Altuve. Altuve talked about it. In the post game, he's just a legend, man. He's one of the few that is going to play. At least the Astros have done enough right now. It feels like that he's only going to play for this franchise. That's nice. I'm not that sentimental about sports, but I don't need Altuve rolling around the equivalent of a Arizona Cardinals uniform like J.J. Watt did. Like whatever the version of the Arizona Cardinals is in baseball, I don't need that for Altuve. What's that? Because J.J. Watt is a Texan. We all know him as a Texan, but he did play for the Cardinals. He wore that ugly-ass all-red uniform for the Cardinals. They since switched to a better-looking uniform, but it's a tough color scheme for me when it comes to the Cardinals. But he wore that uniform. Emmitt Smith wore a different version of that Cardinals uniform, but we know him as a Cowboy. Altuve's an Astro. But what would be the Cardinals of baseball where the old guy gets a couple more hacks, a couple more plate appearances before he wraps it up in a uniform he doesn't belong in? We know the Ravens are that and the Titans are that for wide receivers. But as far as Major League Baseball is concerned, I don't know. The old folks home for former stars.
Yeah. They don't really – there's not that many, I guess, legends that are – way past their prime, but still in the game. You know, like Miguel Cabrera. I guess the Angels. It's the Angels. That's the answer. Yeah. With Pujols.
Pujols is one. I mean, they got Rendon when he wasn't past his prime. He just decided he wanted to
he
be.
He immediately became past
yeah.
his prime.
Yeah. So I guess if Altuve wound up as an Angel, because if they're still in the mode of collecting big names.
Yeah. But I guess. Still in, like, the division, where J.J. Watt going to the Cardinals was the most just like, okay, sure.
Yeah, whatever. Hang out over there. It doesn't bother us. Go ahead.
I guess I'll see you every once in a while. It might honestly be the Diamondbacks.
Just use the other Arizona
yeah,
team.
Just another, just like, this seems normally like kind of good, but never super good. Even when they made the World Series, is a surprise. They've won, I think, less than 90 games. Like, it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you might be right.
It's very inoffensive. No one's mad that you joined. Like, if J.J. Watt had joined the Colts, people have gotten upset.
It would then bother someone.
Yeah, yeah, but it's just like, sure, whatever.
I think I would agree. The Diamondbacks are very neutral for most of us.
Or like Chargers.
Like, I don't even – I think the NL West teams aren't b- bothered by the Diamondbacks. Whatever. Sure, they exist, but we got bigger concerns, like the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants. They're like, yeah, these are the two other teams we're actually concerned about. The Diamondbacks are less pathetic, certainly, than the Rockies, but listen, we're not really concerned about you. We don't think about you guys at all. So if Altuve decided he wanted to clean up, like some stats he needed to get done, like get to 3,000.
Yeah, he's at whatever, 2,900.
Yeah, and he thinks he can get 100 more with the Diamondbacks. Yeah, join them. I'm fine with that. But I would appreciate, I would love it to just end here at, even if he doesn't want to, even if he doesn't get to 3,000, let's just end it here as an Astro. And he's going to continue to collect milestones because he is still a very good ball player. Base running's still an issue, as you might have seen yesterday. But other than that, very, very few complaints about the best Astro ever. I mean, that's not an official title, but I feel like when he goes into the whatever they want to call their Hall of Fame or Ring of Honor, there should be in parentheses, best Astro ever.
That's a great idea. I think every team should do that.
I mean,
they have to designate one person as like greatest whatever,
greatest
of all time.
Player of all time, greatest Astro of all time. Yeah. That might be insulting to the other guys up there, but sorry. He accomplished what he accomplished, not you guys.
Yeah, I do think that Altuve is the perfect one to start doing this for because I have a hard time thinking that Biggio and Bagwell be like, man, if this guy, you know.
It's
like,
going to be tough for them to fight and push against it, yeah.
Where, like, other teams, there might actually be, like, I don't know, like, Kareem is like, really? This guy? Greatest Laker of all time? All right.
And Kareem's very vocal about things, so maybe he would have a concern. Yeah. You know, even it's that old, it's the debate that's going on currently because so many stars now change teams. Like Kevin Durant, no chance of being the greatest Rocket ever. But will he be the best player to ever play for the Rockets? When people, like Hakeem, I get. This is not me trying to besmirch the legacy of Hakeem
Olajuwon. Yeah, just like how LeBron's the greatest player to ever put on a Lakers uniform, although but he's not the greatest.
Yeah, then they may push back because they've had such a long legacy of great players. They may, you know, if you ask a Laker fan, they're going to say Kobe was a better player than LeBron. So sure, whatever. But in this town, Hakeem goated, no question. But as far as nationally, if we just get into the conversation of best players to ever play for the Rockets, I don't think it's as cut and dry as people think.
I think Hakeem is probably, you know, on what the if we had to make a consensus greatest players of all time list, I think Hakeem's would be ahead of Durant, but it'd be close. You know, it's like just picking random number, like 12 versus 16. You know, so, like
as far as the best players.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, what about Harden? You know, it's like, nah, he's a little bit further down.
Yeah, he's done enough, and by enough, I mean lack of accomplishments in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
To not really be competing with those two guys as far as those rankings are concerned. James will go down as one of the best scorers of all time.
He had one of the best careers on the Rockets.
Yes, that'll be his label, one of the best pure scorers for us to have ever seen. And then you start to pick apart his legacy because of what happens in the games that matter most to people. Peña, I see you. You want to talk some soccer. We do have a big game coming to town. Mexico versus U.S. in the Gold Cup final. We can get into the least likely guy to be the face of U.S. soccer. It may be the guy who scored both goals yesterday. If you haven't seen Diego Luna, we'll kind of describe him. And when we go back through time of the faces of U.S. soccer that currently belongs to Christian Pulisic, you had your landed maybe. It did belong to him.
Before this tournament.
Yeah, maybe not anymore, considering all the backlash he's received. Pulisic, you've had Landon Donovan. Maybe you throw Eric Winalda and others, Claudio Reyna, whatever. Diego Luna doesn't fit the profile. If you hadn't watched him and that team all tournament long, take a look at the final. It'll be here in town, whether you go to the game or not. Check out the number 10 for the U.S. You're going to be like, huh, it's not the U.S. soccer I grew up with, and maybe that's a good thing. So we'll talk about that. Peña will get into that with you. Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30. We're not here on Friday, so Michael Carroll joins us today. And because we're not here on Friday, it's the holidays. The guys are going to be down today in Galveston at Landry Seafood House as opposed to tomorrow for our summer circuit It's the Killer Bees. They're going to be following Paul Gallant. And, of course, you know, or at least you should know, if you go out to an event during the summer in person, you got a chance to sign up for a chance to win those cool e-bikes, $4,000 value by the Power On Electric Bicycle Company. So those things are pretty nice. You get a pair of them because maybe you don't want to ride alone. Maybe you like to ride with someone and you got a bike to give them, courtesy of Power On Electric Bikes. So we'll continue to get people signed up for that and give them the chance to win a pretty cool prize. But we're just getting started here. We'll get into some Rocket stuff because Jabari Smith is doing podcasts. He sat down with KCP and others to talk about his career. He is now a very wealthy man, and he talked about some of the early years with Steven Silas and also his new coach, well, now 3 years in, going into the third year, I guess, Ime Udoka. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Rockets being involved in maybe the biggest trade in NBA history. They've already done their part, it feels like, although we may have found a new landing spot for Cam Whitmore as part of the sign and trade with Dorian Finney-Smith. So a lot of transactional stuff with the Rockets that feel it's pretty much done, but some things to clean up, and it may lead to Cam Whitmore playing for a team in L.A. We'll get to that as well. Just getting started, you can call in like Pena did, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the U.S. beat Guatemala 2-1. They are going to play in the Gold Cup final on Sunday against El Tri. We have a station down the hall. One of the women, I believe her partner is Honduran. So she was rooting against El Tri, much like any U.S. soccer fan would. She was also rooting against the United States because she roots for underdogs. I gave her a high five for rooting against El Tri. Could not do it for rooting against the USN. Turns out, I win both ways because I want to see the U.S. against Mexico. It's the rivalry that kind of got me into soccer. Growing up in a predominantly Spanish-speaking community, at least when I played soccer, those conversations were fun as a kid. I'm sure they said things in Spanish to me that probably shouldn't have said just because they would talk to each other then laugh after they were done. So I'm just assuming all in good fun, I guess. But still, I didn't understand it. So you can get your jokes off if you so choose. So that is Sunday here in town. Best rivalry in North America. Sorry, Canada. No matter if you hire one of our guys to manage you, like Jesse March, it's still the U.S. versus Mexico.
I mean, you got to stop choking like dogs every time you're in a tournament.
Yeah.
Then we can talk.
Yeah. If you got, Canada. You didn't even beat Guatemala to set up the semifinal against the U.S. Yeah. How about you win something, Canada? Can't beat us in Nations League. That's reserved for Panama.
Yeah, get on Panama's level.
Yeah, right? Panama tortures us when it comes to, a Copa America. They did that last summer, I think, which resulted in Berhalter getting fired. Now his son's missing penalty kicks. But he's starting for the U.S. and playing pretty well outside of the penalty kick miss. Let's talk to Pena. Pena wants to talk some soccer. What's up, Pena?
Yeah, what up, Dale? Hey, I know I could probably look this up, but I've been kind of busy at work this morning. And this morning when I was getting ready for work, ABC 13, they had a I didn't catch it. They said someone from Liverpool, a star player. I don't know how big of a star he was, but he got in a car wreck and died overnight. I don't know how old this news is, and they just found out about it. But I don't know if you know about it or not, if you can enlighten me about it. Thank you. Have a great 3-day weekend, man.
Appreciate it. You do the same. Yeah, Diogo, D-I-O-G-O, if that's pronounced Diogo. Diogo Jota, he died in a car accident. He's a Portuguese soccer player. He was in Spain. He and his brother were in were in a car accident. It's apparently a single car crash. The car lit on fire. He is one of Liverpool's best players. He is an important member of that team. And he and his brother, Andre Silva, passed away this morning because of that car crash. It's confirmed. Liverpool certainly has announced it along with the news agencies. Yeah, I mean, that's all I have on it right now. Right now, classified as a single car crash, and he dies in that car crash. He just recently got married. He has, I think, a couple kids with his he was with his partner for a long time. They have several kids, and I think they were just recently married. So you've got a family man and losing his life, and a family losing a son, losing a husband, losing a father, and then you throw in his brother as well. I don't know the familial connections if he had kids as well, but yeah, just a sad loss of life for one of the better soccer players in the world. Diogo Jota dies at 28 years old. Life is odd, tough, and sometimes tragic. And he married his wife. Don't know how to, I hope I'm pronouncing this right. I'm just going to spell it Rute. That's her name, Cardoso. Just this year. Very sad day if you're a soccer fan. You watch that guy play. He's pretty special, and he lost his life in that car crash. So thanks for the call, Pena. That's the update on that. As far as the Gold Cup is concerned, I was mentioning before we went to break, Diego Luna. Diego Luna is a Southern California kid, I believe. He talked about his the push and pull of being someone who has a Mexican family but grew up in the United States. And when Mexico and the U.S. played, he had parts of the family rooting for Mexico and parts of his family rooting for the U.S. He said as a kid he would get upset when Mexico scored or won because I'm an American. I grew up here. And then as you get older, you kind of get what your heritage is. But he said, hey, the U.S. raised me. That's why I have all these opportunities. So I'm proud to play for the U.S. So that's been a thing throughout the last 20 years or so, the dual nationals, the U.S. and Mexico competing for guys who could play for both countries. I'm not sure if they went after Luna. He's only 21 years old. But as I was saying, he is not the traditional face of U.S. soccer. He, along with Malik Tillman, have been kind of the stars of the tournament. And when you're scoring goals in knockout round games, your star grows. And he's 21 years old. He's got the dyed blonde hair. He's got tattoos all over. He's got several neck tattoos. And he's like 5'8". Just you wouldn't say spectacular athlete when you look at him. But the goal he scored, his second goal that wound up being the game winner, was nice. He has a little flair that you don't normally see from American soccer players. It's what you saw from Clint Dempsey when he was on the national team. Like, there are certain players who are like, there's the Donovan types, the ballistic types, who they're skillful enough, but on the ball, they're not going to wow you with their technical ability, but they're still very talented players. Luna has a little bit of a flair. He showed it on his goal, and he helped the U.S. win. So he'll wear the number 10 shirt, a shirt that's normally reserved for your playmaker. And Pulisic had that jersey, and he would be wearing it now if he made himself available for this tournament. But Diego Luna's put that jersey on. It's a jersey that Landon Donovan wore as well. And he's made a lot of people happy with what he's done so far.
It's his team now.
Well, this version of the team, sure. This version where not a lot of your top players are involved, this is his team currently.
Next summer, who wears number 10?
I think we know the answer to that. Unless
Diego Luna, the one who's stepped up.
He's the number 10 who's... He's not.
He's not the step number 10.
He's the one who stepped up. Exactly. Yeah. Well, he might be
rings. That's why.
Well, he hasn't won
That's
it yet.
I said Pulisic.
He hasn't won it yet. Well, Pulisic has all those. He has a Champions League medal for Chelsea.
Oh, cool.
And he also
wear 10 for Chelsea then.
Not anymore. No, he can wear 10 for like AC Milan, I think. Yeah. And he's also got some Nations League titles and stuff. He may have a Gold Cup. I don't know. Maybe he never won one of those, like Luna has a chance to on Sunday here in Houston. But it's been a nice bounce back for that U.S. squad, who a lot of people were questioning. And I think this version of the squad is the one people are proud to root for, beyond the fact that they're winning. It's like, hey, it's not all the guys who have failed us.
These
in
are
tournaments.
Our guys.
Yeah, like the Pulisics, the Timothy Weahs, the Weston McKinneys, all those dudes who are playing internationally, they have a lot of stink on them for not living up to their potential. This group, they don't have any of that because there wasn't a lot expected of them.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, yeah, we love these guys. They've never disappointed
this
us.
The 22 straight win Rockets team where it's like, hey, this is fun. It's Chuck Hayes starting at center.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. The team is technically better with Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady. But look at these guys.
But these guys are winning.
Yeah,
look how fun
guys,
this
look
is.
These guys go.
Yeah, Shane Battier playing a big part during that streak, I believe. So we'll see if they can close the deal. They got Mexico in town in Houston. So that'll be fun.
Whose legacy is on the line?
No one's. No one. And we're too close to the World Cup for either one of the managers to get fired. Like if this was last summer, you lose the Gold Cup, you could get fired.
Yeah.
But this, everyone's pretty much set in stone unless some scandal pops up. So
Diego Luna, legacy game?
He's only 21. I don't know if you can have a legacy game.
Sebastian Berhalter, legacy game?
Eh, he already ruined his legacy because of his dad. Nothing to do with him. It's going to be hard for Berhalter.
It's a deep hole to dig
out. Yeah, it's going to be hard for Sebastian to overcome the I won't say shame, the black mark people have placed on the Berhalter name. It's tough when your dad is a manager, was the manager of the team for years, and no one thinks he did a good job.
Matt Freeze?
His legacy was against Costa Rica.
I need a legacy game. I need someone who on... well, I won't be here Monday. On Tuesday, I can come back and call a fraud.
You mean...
Or call...
Weren't you just pushing back on...
Or call legend.
Did we have a call yesterday who was calling people frauds and you were pushing back on that? But you now want to take part in calling a squad we barely know frauds?
Yeah. I only know Sebastian Berhalter's on the team because he missed that penalty. I only know Matt Freeze because I was like, wait, didn't we have another Matt?
Matt Turner.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is a different guy.
Matt Freeze came up big. I think it's the legacy of whoever scores a goal that wins the game. Like, we don't have legacy. Maybe it's Malik Tillman legacy game if he has a big game. Maybe it's a Tim Ream who's been around forever. Maybe he makes a big stop, make big tackle late in the game.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Tim Ream, this is the game that gets his jersey retired.
Nah, it's not happening.
Oh.
Not happening. He's been a great professional for years now, but it's not happening. Maybe Fulham, who he used to play for, now he's playing back in the U.S. Maybe they retire that number at some point. He was as much as you can be a Fulham legend when you're a 30-year-old to older 30-year-old defender. I would say no one's establishing their legacy unless there's a free kick to win it, something like that. Maybe you score an extra time. That could be the case. I think the legacy of U.S. Mexico will always, at least on the U.S. side, be Dos Acero. No matter. Who comes up big? It's the scoreline, very famous.
USA fans, legacy game.
If they show up, it's going to be like 70, 30 Mexican fans in that building over the weekend.
Legacy's on the line. Show up, do something.
It's not Columbus, Ohio. They're not going to outmuscle the Mexican fans for this ticket. It's not happening. It might be a legacy game for me. I might be there with my dad if Lance can come through. Had to call him and say, hey, do you want to watch Mexico versus...
His legacy on the line?
No, he's retired and he was an aerospace engineer. I feel like he's done enough.
So what?
Exactly. What have you ever accomplished? You came over from Nigeria and built a life for yourself and became an aerospace engineer. Whatever.
Who hasn't?
Whatever. Speaking of legacy, we got to talk about the legacy of the Mapeses.
What?
It is July 4th weekend, which means it's your time to shine. At least your uncle's time to shine, from what I remember. I held off on getting more into this because why not do it today? If you don't know, Sean Mapes has a family legacy of running fireworks stands. We're going to get more into that.
My legacy is secure, by the way.
Are you going to help out this weekend?
Tomorrow, yeah. Coming in Josh Hader style.
Closing the door, huh? What's the quota? How many sparklers do you have to sell before you get to go home? Is there a number you have to sell, or do you just have to be there for several hours?
It's more just, it's till midnight. And then.
You're going to be long haul.
Yeah.
Nice.
Only for one day, though.
Oh, you're not doing it on the 4th?
Yeah, no, tomorrow.
Tomorrow's you're right. I'm thinking, are you doing it tonight?
No.
No, okay, tomorrow. All right.
Come on. They can afford me for 2 days.
I planned to talk about that away from Top Dog, and thankfully that's in the second hour of the show. So we're not going to name Sean's uncle's place because that's a competing fireworks entity. Top Dog is what I respect. Top Dog is what I love. But we'll talk about Top Dog in the next hour. Right now I'm going to talk to you about a great place if you want to buy a car. I'm not sure there's a legacy of the MAPE selling American-made cars. And if there was, they probably wouldn't have been in business for over 50 years like Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet wants you to check out what they have to offer this holiday weekend. Just because it's July 4th doesn't mean you can't get yourself a great car to celebrate America. If you check out what they have to offer, it's going to be on MonumentChevrolet.com. So whether you want like a Trailblazer or a Silverado, or maybe you want an EV, all those cars are there for you. Check out the inventory, check out the prices, and then head on out there to Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225 and step on that campus. I call it a campus because it's wide-ranging, because they have all the new vehicles. They have the pre-owned inventory. They have vehicles for your business. If you are starting one, they have a great fleet of vehicles for a business. If you're starting one or you need to add something to your current business, it's all there for you. So you're going to meet the great people out there. The salespeople have a thing where they strive to be the salesperson of the week. So that means they're going to do their best to get you into the best car possible and at the price you want. They're not pushy. They're going to be friendly. They're going to make sure everything works out for you. So check them out at Monument Chevrolet. Website, once again, is monumentchevrolet.com. They're close in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And remember this, Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we got some questions about the legacy of Mapes, because he will be working in a fireworks stand tomorrow, pretty much all day, making sure you guys get fireworks, making sure the family business stays on track. At least one part of the family business, one person's part of the family business, his uncle. So tomorrow, Sean Mapes will be selling fireworks. As I said before, I've never met anyone who owned a fireworks stand, but now I have. So the thought is, since you have long hair, that's one of the automatic ways you fit into this life. I'm not sure that's the case.
Life chose me. I didn't choose the life.
That's kind of true. I would say, or at least I relayed to people, what you said about the people who own these stands all kind of fit a profile where one is like the other. Your uncle might be very similar to another person who runs one of these stands.
It's similar, yeah. Personality traits are shared, I would say.
Yes. Now we have some questions. I don't think these are very complimentary. You can choose what you want to answer or not. Do they have – I'm not going to ask that one. Do most of these guys smoke?
Well, you can't smoke in the stand.
Yeah, that seems dangerous.
I don't think you can smoke within like 100 feet of it. We do have – I have had to ask a lot of people – to
not light up or to put their cigarettes out?
Yeah. Well, no, it's actually the customers just walking up with the cigarette.
That's what I'm assuming, Hey, guys.
Can you not?
There's explosives around. Could you not do that?
I don't care if you smoke or not.
It's not a morality thing. It's like me wanting to make it home. Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as the work, no, not really.
No. What about do they have phone belt holders?
Phone belt holders?
Like right on their clip, a clip on their hip. You know, most of us, if you say normal people, put it in our pockets or they set it aside. Do the people who run these places have a holder for their phone on their belt or their belt loop?
No. I don't think so.
It's not something that goes across.
No. I mean, they are like guys in their 50s and 60s mostly, but
sleep in a trailer near the fireworks stand.
Well, you only have to do that if it's a wooden fireworks stand. Mm-hmm. Luckily, all of ours are metal. Ooh. They're basically train cars that got decommissioned and then recommissioned as this. And so when you're in a wooden firework stand, the law is, or was at least, that you have to sleep inside of it. Like you can't leave it unmanned.
I didn't know there was a law.
Yeah. There's a lot of laws.
Wow. What's
the one I've broken the most?
Yes.
I can tell just by the run up, the like slight pause. I was like, he's thinking of the way to ask them.
Yes.
Well, big ones that someone in the stand has to be 18 at all times.
You've worked long before, two straight years of not
following that one.
That seems like a lock. If you have a younger family member who's available, they're probably not going to be 18.
It's not a huge difference.
It's not a big
guys.
Deal. Yeah, you get it. Yeah, if the guy can count, yeah. I think he'll be fine.
It's just the fire marshal check-in day is always around the corner.
And do they show up unannounced?
Yeah.
Okay.
But normally they go to a lot of stands all on one day.
So is there a network of people telling each other?
Yeah, so that you'll get a text.
Hey, guys. Ed,
be on the lookout.
Ed's on the loose again. Be ready.
Yeah.
All right. I did not know. So while you guys are competing, there's still some honor amongst you guys where you're going to help each other out, even though, you know, the bottom line is still the bottom line.
There's a little bit. Most of the network, though, most of the communication, though, is within the our business,
okay.
The different stands.
Got it. So how many stands exist for you guys?
I'm not sure about this year, but it's normally like 8 to 11, somewhere in that range.
And do we have an answer on prime locations? Like where you want to be when you're selling these fireworks?
Near a nice neighborhood. That's really the biggest thing. Like the subdivision, like the main entrance and exit of a subdivision. I would say with disposable income. You want to be off of main road. So if it's, you know, off of like this is in the Conroe Magnolia area, so off of 1488. Mm-hmm. That's you'll see a lot there.
And is there big competition for these spots? Like there is everyone knows where you want to be.
Yeah, there's a little bit of stealing, or not stealing, but you know, you only rent these spots out for 2 weeks at a time, mm-hmm. every 6 months.
Got it.
Actually, probably like a month because you've set up before.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of like bidding that happens and, you know, I'll pay this much to be here. I'll pay this much to be here. That kind of thing. So there are more prime spots than others.
The world of fireworks stands.
Yeah.
They're very I'm sure I should have assumed it's kind of complex because, hey, it's any business can't be that way.
It's not that complex. I told you I ran a stand.
Okay, when you were 16, I guess it's not that tough.
I would say brain surgery.
I mean, not the actual running of it, but you know, you got a business. You got to find prime locations.
You got to find people to work.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, it's like
that's
any,
tough.
Like any other business,
find dependable people.
You got to get someone who want to spend a summer day doing that all day long, and obviously people who are going to show up. And you got to depend on just like any other business, I guess. Because I do speak for Top Dog, we won't mention them by the Mapes by name, but the Mapes family business by name. But does Paul do a Top Dog?
Yes.
Okay, so he won't.
No.
I really would like to shout him out, but I don't think I can.
Well, you can't. Can I? I don't get paid jack by Top Dog.
It's true.
Trying to take money out of my family's mouth.
It's very true. And there's enough distance because I don't have to do it until like 11:30 or so. You know what? Why not?
Yeah, so Coach's Fireworks. They're mostly on the north side of town. So Montgomery County, Tomball. I think there's one in Cypress off of Highway 6.
And
but
now,
a lot of them are in like outside the Woodlands in Conroe and Magnolia.
Got it. And now I will tell you, ignore all that and go to Top Dog Fireworks. 14 Houston area locations, Top Dog. I'll talk more about Top Dog in the next hour, including Top Dog in that next hour. We'll also have, well, at least besides Top Dog in the next hour, I guess, we'll have Michael Carroll.
The Top Dog of ESPN 97.5.
Certainly, I believe so. He'll tell you what you should or shouldn't watch this weekend. It's going to be a long weekend, 3-day weekend, and maybe you don't have any interest in spending any time out and about. You want to stay home and watch stuff because it's hot outside. You just want to hang out. Michael Carroll is going to give you options, going to tell you what you can see in theaters. He's going to have a review of a big movie. I know he tagged me because he got to see something pretty fun. That's what Michael does. He gets to see fun stuff before you do to let you know if it's good or bad. So we'll talk to Michael Carroll in hour two. We'll be back.
Now back to Del Olalea.
I talked about it a little bit, but Red Panda, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Red Panda has a broken wrist. If you don't know who she is, she's the entertainer who rides a unicycle, balances it at midcourt at basketball games, and then kicks up bowls on her head and continues to balance and does all these tricks on a unicycle, and she fell and broke her wrist. One of the legends of in-game, during break entertainment is suffering, and age catches up to all of us. Hopefully Red Panda recovers, and she's doing this for as long as she wants to do it.
Do you think she can be back by the Dodger series, or
do
maybe
they do it? Does she do it at baseball games?
Maybe the next week.
Is she wearing a cast on an
airplane?
I
think it's a pain management issue.
Thank you, Dana Brown. Is she? But the question is, if she's seen out and about in public on an airplane, do we take a photo of her and say, look, she's wearing a cast? Because that's apparently what is floating around when it comes to Yordan. There's a quote I'm not going to relay, because I'm not even sure what's real or what isn't. But there's a picture out there. You don't know if it's from the last day or two or from the last time Yordan had a hand issue. But someone found, or at least was sitting next to Yordan on the plane, took a photo with him, and he had a cast on, and he relayed that picture to his son. It's the dad taking the photo, sent it to his son. And of course, his son couldn't help but put it on the internet. And then he gave a quote from Yordan about how long he'll be out. I don't know if that's true. Can't verify it. Just saying. There is at least a real photo, whatever the timing is, of Yordan wearing like a little immobilizing cast. There we are. But we knew he was going to be out for a while. And that's where we stand there.
Yeah. I was going to say the actual, picture of him in a cast. There's part of the quote is that he won't be swinging a bat for 6 weeks. I mean, he had gone, 4 weeks without swinging a bat and then popped his ligament. So it's not outside the realm of possibility. It's not so dramatic. It's he probably is going to be out for 6 weeks at least.
Yeah. The other part of the quote that I'm not going to mention is Yordan told the guy what the issue was, and that's why he won't be swinging a bat. I don't know. You can make your determination there. But hey, at least the photo seems real. So hopefully Yordan can come back sooner than 6 weeks. But if that's what it takes, and if it takes longer, so be it. Stop messing around with that, and let's get him fully healthy because they'll need him in the playoffs. They don't need him now. The Astros keep winning. Hunter Brown on the mound last night. They get the win. And in Colorado, Hunter Brown, first win since early June. He did win Pitcher of the Month for the month of June. He did that along with Zach Wheeler, as he has been a mainstay. Now, we talked about it yesterday. I looked at how it's set up. Hunter Brown, it looks like he would be scheduled to pitch the day before the All-Star break. So he would be unlikely to pitch in the All-Star game, but who's looking for that anyway? We just want him to be named, to be acknowledged for how great he's been. The All-Star starters were announced. Jeremy Peña was not among them, and he's another guy who there are certainly questions about whether he would even be available for the game if he was selected, but he certainly deserves an invite. He, Hader, Brown, feels like the three that if I cared enough about the All-Star game to be upset if someone didn't make it, those would be the three I'd not raise hell about. It feels like those are the three that should be on the team, and you can maybe have debates on others if you want to. You know, Jake Myers has been pretty good. Well, Jake Myers ain't making the All-Star team. Sorry. That's not Jake Myers' lot in life to make the All-Star team.
That's not just not what he does.
No.
How good he plays.
Yeah. He's been really good. Somebody that surprised us this year. But Jake Myers All-Star isn't a thing life wants you to say. Sorry.
Just reality bends away from that.
Yeah. There are certain things where a butterfly flaps his wings and this can happen or this can happen. No matter what.
The multiverse?
Yes.
Every version
Jake
of Jake Myers.
Jake Myers not making the All-Star game is a Nexus event. It'll never happen.
Okay.
And if it does, then the worlds are collapsing on each other and we're all doomed. Shout out to the multiversal saga. I would love a Jake Myers version of that in a world where in the universe
yeah.
this world resides in, Jake Meyer never makes the All-Star
game. The Spider-Men are all talking about.
Yeah.
Jake Myers, All-Star? No.
Yeah, no.
Weird.
No matter if it's Jake, the version of Jake Myers that's like the version of Spider-Pig is still talking about Jake Myers not making the All-Star game.
Tobey Maguire's Jake Meyer? No.
No matter if it's Andrew Garfield watching Astros baseball thinking Jake Myers is pretty good this year. Tom Holland, that version. No matter what Peter Parker or Miles Morales' baseball team they're watching, Jake Myers is not making the All-Star game. And that's where we stand. But shout out to Jake Myers for being really good this year, a really big component of the team. But life is life.
Yeah. Yeah, there really isn't any All-Stars, right, other than those. I mean, the pitchers, it's always tough just because, like, there could always just be enough guys that pitch on Saturday or Sunday where to where they're not available.
Yeah, that's
and then
true.
You get, like, I mean,
maybe Fromber.
Yeah, I think Fromber would be on, like, a realistic amount of alternates before you get to Fromber. Yeah, I think, yeah, Brown, Hader, Fromber are the only pitchers that I could see. Yeah,
there's a thought of Abreu, but a non-closing reliever.
Yeah, that,
it's so far down the list.
It's tough being a non-closer.
Yeah, it's so far down the list to make it. It'd be tough for him. A lot of things would have to go his way as far as guys being unavailable, it feels like. But either way, got one of the best records in baseball. Now a full seven games up on the Mariners. They both won yesterday, but the Astros won another series. So, once again, continuing to dominate. And while I love this laugh at Eric, that 100 win pace.
I think they might be.
Yeah, if they're not there yet, they're getting ever closer to that. And it's not like the schedule is going to get all that tough because.
Yeah, they play the Dodgers.
overall.
Oh.
Yes, the Dodgers are up next after they close out the Colorado series. But I just meant the schedule as a whole isn't going to be one where 100 win season is so out of the realm of possibility, despite the expectations about this team before the year started. Okay, we'll wrap up of hour one with that. We'll get into some Rockets because, as I mentioned earlier, Jabari Smith was on a podcast. He talked about his time with Steven Silas and how things are different now. And we'll hear from – at least I'll kind of give you a rundown of what's happening with the Rockets and a potential trade because Cam Whitmore is mentioned as a player who could be on the move, and it may be – simply to complete the Dorian Finney-Smith trade. So we'll talk about that in the second hour. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.